strangers.
We're doing this a second time, and you can see that there's a certain rate of attrition, which is mirrors exactly what happens after grade 9 in the North American school. It was down by half every grade after that. And we were up very late with some of our distinguished colleagues discussing very deep matters, and so I'm surprised that my voice is deeper than but it still gives me great pleasure to introduce my friend and colleague from Deutschland. That's what DE means, and Bernie didn't know that, so I think I should
and it's literacy, yes.
Günter Turner, with the subjective European point of view. Let's welcome Günter Turner.
Yeah, thanks. Well, first of all, I would like to express again my delight being here together in a circle of interested and involved colleagues and teachers, and to concern ourselves with central questions on mathematics lessons, even though the word mathematics is not explicitly mentioned in my title. On the paper there is a different title, but I changed the title a few weeks ago because the discussion of QL brought in by Bernie seems to me very important, and to give them some remarks on the former title, I think Tony would the better person to show how we should teach number sense in the time of pocket calculators. However, I will also give some remarks to number sense from my point of view. Well, my desire is that we not only concern ourselves analytically with questions on quantitative literacy, but I hope we will successful to develop constructive examples related to this topic. Actually, I have come here as a curious QL learner. Should I make the impression of a European from the old world in the way I speak, possibly resembling the way our politicians speak, then I would nonetheless like to underline that I do not feel I have any better opinions or superior advice. The opposite is more the case. I'm not familiar enough with schools in the United States or in Canada to be in a position to offer you sound advice. Thus, I would like to ask you to understand my contributions simply as loud thinking. And, this conference has started for us 2 days ago, and meanwhile, I think there's a shift in my opinion, and I said it already to Bernie, it was fine to hear him and not only cite QL literacy with respect to a paper, which is interesting, but to get the very emotional ideas of Bernie that we as mathematicians are also responsible for this area. Of course, every contribution is in a trivial sense subjective, and therefore I feel I should first of all reveal my own subjectivity. In my heart, I am both a mathematician and a math educator, and it's my job to publish research articles in both fields. Well, my job description at the University of Duisburg-Essen expresses this dual role. In the last 7 years, I also have been fulfilling the post of managing coordinator for questions related to school and to teacher training in the light of recent developments in and around mathematics, to the presidential board of the German Mathematical Society. I do not desire to conceal that I have lost a lot of my optimism during these 7 years. Nonetheless, the problems of changing mathematics lessons in schools remains a constant challenge, and maybe at the end of this meeting I will have regained some more optimism again in having found new allies and new ideas for this course. Now to my interest. I'm not only concerned with global questions as well with questions related to micro worlds on this theme. I'm convinced that the discussion on and around QL in particular should focus on global processes on one hand and on the other hand, I assume the debate will open links to various micro worlds of teaching and math learning. Under the term global processes, I understand the processes in our society related to mathematics lesson. Here I see the image of a magic pentagram. Well, actually it is just a complete graph with at least maybe five vertices. Well, the image of such a figure is that we as mathematicians are not alone only to present ideas, but we have to struggle with administration. We have to struggle with teacher education. Teacher education is linked with administration. Mathematics is also linked with politics. Politics is linked, of course, with society. There's a public side. And, of course, society is demanding teacher education. And, well, I read an article in a newspaper a few days ago. They are speaking of a so-called turbo teacher education, and some college is offering teacher education within 2 years, or which is quite unnormal in Germany. Well, I want to express that when we are discussing our aspects, our topics, what we want to change, we should have in mind that there are many factors which we should not ignore. On the other hand, but I am also interested in questions concerning the microcosm of teaching and learning of mathematics. Well, in the last 7 years, I was occupied by research and understanding of mathematical beliefs, as I told yesterday, as driving forces as well as hidden variables and the functions for our reception of mathematics. At present, my focus of interest is around mental representations of mathematical context, and I started to learn much from the psychologists, and in particular, the influence of various subjective ontologies of knowledge spaces. Well, back to the title of my talk. My remarks are more the nature of concise comments. However, the red line is quantitative literacy, and in particular mathematics teaching as a whole on all levels. Well, therefore my remarks in the next paragraph concerning numeracy, mathematical literacy and quantitative literacy and the question fuzzy terms. Well, I think first of all we have common shared convictions. Well, we believe in the uniqueness and greatness of mathematics, its importance, its relevance, sorry, it was a mistake, for school education. On the other side, there is a belief that mathematics is poorly and at the moment inadequately realized at school. But I remember the discussion yesterday. There was the messages, we have lost a lot, but we should have a more careful look what we have lost. And I think I cannot remember a paper which is trying to make objective what we have lost and what we have gained. Of course, there are the three international investigations. There is FIMS, the first international mathematics investigation, then of course there is SIMS, the second international investigation in the assessment of mathematics, and there's a paper of Freudenthal, I think in the 70s, in the journal Educational Studies on Mathematics, comparing the outcome with respect to certain items. However, I think there should be research done in making objective, and when this has been done. Maybe Tony has some papers. We should use these documents in order to find allies, because we can prove there is a loss in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years. On the other side, society has changed, and the figures in the talk yesterday given by Bernie shows that school is no longer school if we compare school 2000 with school 1960, and college has also changed because the population going to college is quite a different one. Therefore, I want to say we should be careful and we should do research in these fields before we start to claim hypotheses and to claim requirements. Well, nevertheless, I believe, but it's a belief, I believe in a comment given by Hirsch. Anyone who has even been in the least interested in mathematics, or has even observed other people who were interested in it, is aware that mathematical work is work with ideas. Symbols are used as aids to thinking, just as musical scores are used as aids to music. The music comes first, the score comes later. Moreover, the score can never be a full embodiment of the musical thoughts of the composer. I think it was written more or less in the 80s, and 10 years later, there's an article of the Lady Thompson, which died very early, in a handbook on teacher education. And the article is from 92. She said, yet as noted in the standards of the NCTM, traditional teaching emphasis have been on the mastery of symbols and procedures, largely ignoring the processes of mathematics and the fact that mathematical knowledge often emerged from dealing with problem situations. Indeed, the converse of Hirsch's statement can be used to characterize typical school mathematics. First comes the score, but the music never follows. Well, when we discussed these observations, these ideas, these insights together with Klaus 1-2 years ago, we quickly identified this deficit with the term numeracy. When Hirsch above employs the metaphor of music with respect to mathematics, numeracy aspects fit very well to this, as there is music in numbers. They stand for the rhythm. You can orchestrate a lot with numbers, and piano, pianissimo, forte. I think there are connections to numbers. Why not? However, if I remember correctly, we have exchanged views about the extensive use of the pocket calculator in the discussions with Klaus. An old topic dating back to the epoch of new math. It is possible, however, that the discussion on the use of pocket calculator is only the tip of the iceberg. We agreed on the point that this tool, falsely used for the wrong tasks, throws up dangers as an easy maker. Pocket calculator at the wrong point as a wrong easy maker. You can't learn how to ride a bike if you always use a tricycle. And maybe the same fits on a higher level to the use, to the too early use, to the too early using of computer algebra systems. Well, maybe it's precisely these tools which lead to an alienation process. And I was reminded to Karl Marx, and I even wonder if Karl Marx could help us here with explanation, because Karl Marx was describing the becoming foreign between capital and work, between labor and the machines. Not forgetting that Karl Marx has written a few mathematical papers. How can we become a mountaineer if we only use the chair lift? All attempts to climb mountains fail where there is no such a lift. We agreed, at least when viewing the global symbols, even though our initial answers appear to have been a little superficial. A fruit from our discussions developed under the title for this planned workshop next year and the actual workshop today, Numeracy and Beyond, whereby we used the term numeracy rather light-heartedly, certainly not having looked up the term, I say it for my own, in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. While preparing this workshop, I eventually realized that this numeracy action has to be viewed on the background of a broader action program, namely that it has to be embedded in the discussion on quantitative literacy. Let me then start with a piece of praise. On the preprint of the book published by Madison, in front of me, namely Archiving Quantitative Literacy, and we learned yesterday there are two other books, and there are three other books. This preprint offers an excellent introduction to the problematics of quantitative literacy. However, at the moment in Europe, this discussion is hardly given attention, regardless of how important it would be to do so. And I believe it would be important. I also doubt whether it will be given more attention at the PME conference in Honolulu next week. Maybe we can earn merits if we put this theme on the agenda of the ICME 2004 meeting in Denmark. We should think about whether or not a new term in Europe has had its debut on our discussion stage, namely literacy. And literacy was identified as a term to be used in the in TIMSS, in the third international mathematics subject and science investigation study, and it was used more or less, not without a concrete definition, and then PISA made it explicit, and I pointed out to the PISA definition of literacy yesterday, and okay, more or less you can have no objections to this definition, however, in some sense this definition is empty, and in particularly, and they explicitly explain it, there is no space for the emotional aspect, for the affective dimension of a student, of a teacher concerning mathematics. You can understand it because it's not easy to test. Well, at present, a lot is being said about literacy, in particular mathematical literacy in Europe and in Germany. Since TIMSS, we understand mathematical literacy as part of the cultural alphabetization process. As I remarked yesterday, in a not very fruitful discussion on the so-called Heimann thesis, and the Heimann thesis where 7 years of school mathematics are enough, at the beginning of the 90s, TIMSS finally pointed out, clearly out, that a minimalist answer to the question how much mathematics does an individual need can be dangerous. You know, values and thus also value assessments of lesson contents are socially stabilized. And luckily, the opinion of the world, the opinion of the outside countries from Germany on this question is more positive than the assessment of the Deutsche German society at the moment. Thankfully, Tim stated that there is actually international consensus to view mathematics as of great importance. This liberates us in the mathematics community from the duty to constantly justify the view that mathematics, due to its use in applications and in the real world, is so important and therefore has to be and remain part of the curriculum. And when you ask teachers, please give me examples why mathematics is so extremely important in the real world, many teachers fail because teacher education fails to show the applications, the deep applications of mathematics. Who dare question the legitimacy of reading Goethe's Faust or discussing Shakespeare's Hamlet in language lessons? Language-wise, you can become rich and happy without knowledge of such works, but you may have a self-understanding as being somewhat culturally illiterate, which regretfully is not considered the case, whereas the irrationality of a number is often criticized as being irrational. Please do not understand me wrongly. I do not want to justify the legitimacy of my discipline and its various contents, but such headstrong arguments do not satisfy me completely. Well, there are no reasons not to be precisely analyze the term literacy, but would not such an endeavor have partially or entirely an academic character? On the one hand, I am aware of the tightrope of having to take the definition seriously. But on the other hand, I would like to state that concerning content questions, such a definition would not help me in my decision making much further anyway. And after Tom, thank you very much, had recently pointed out to the Jablonka paper, we know there's much research concerning the roots and the sources on literacy. And he provided Tom with a preprint version of this article of Jablonka in the first item. But when I read the article, I have almost completely drowned in an ocean of information. On the one hand, I admired the literacy of the author to be able to contribute so much information to the theme. But on the other hand, I asked myself if I have to remember it all. Almost giving up here, I start to doubt whether we will be able to contribute anything productive to this theme, at least from the analytical perspective. But what is the reason when churning over this analysis and by no way superfluous diagnosis that they produce so little fruit? Are researchers, I'm sometimes reminded that some of the researchers, maybe in math education, can be compared with archaeologists. It's right, archaeologists, who are excavating things where it would be more important to take individual parts of a house and to build up house because houses are needed for accommodation at a pleasant place to stay. Thus, to which definitions do we wish to pay contribute? Numeracy, quantitative literacy, or mathematical literacy? I think it's not the most important question, and therefore I tried to approach the topic personally, literacy personally defined. Well, I will answer this question by using some terminology from mathematics education, which seems to be helpful at this point. With respect to a mathematical object, Tall and Winner, 20 years ago, prefer to distinguish between the concept definition on one side of some mathematical object and its concept image on the other side. They claim that the concept image is by no means less important than the correct concept definition. Most of us are mathematicians, and when we are approaching our subject, we should enrich the discussion by introducing our specific knowledge and competencies on mathematics. However, without ignoring basic facts on the teaching and learning process. And therefore, it's very important to have an adequate idea of the concept image, what literacy and numeracy could mean. Well, there is an important statement in the Yablonka paper, and I read it. The central argument, it's the first item, underlying each investigation is that it is not possible to promote a conception of mathematical literacy without at the same time implicitly or explicitly promoting a particular social practice. Yesterday in the discussion it was pointed out that we should not ignore the social background, the social cultural factors, and therefore she is not wrong. However, I would like to add this hypothesis or this axiom given by René Thom, which shows that we have also to consider a dual side of our discussion. When René Thom said, in fact, whether one wishes it or not, all mathematical pedagogy, even if scarcely coherent, rests on a philosophy of mathematics. We can rewrite Yablonka's hypothesis by saying the central argument underlying each investigation is that it is not possible to promote a conception of mathematical literacy without at the same time implicitly or explicitly promoting a particular philosophy of mathematics. And I think if we have different definitions, concept images on the definition on literacy in our mind, one reason may be that the social practice, the social cultural factors are different. But another reason may be that our source of mathematics, the philosophy of our personal mathematics, is differing. And therefore, of course, I can believe in different philosophies of mathematics, but this difference helps to explain that sometimes our discussion is not finding the point, and maybe there is not only one point. Further, well, and let me, I admire, you see, René Thom's philosophy of mathematics, although, but you should know he is not a philosopher of mathematics, as you understand a philosopher, but he was a creative person in mathematics. And well, one of his statements, and you see, these are statements taken out of articles written 30 years ago when there was a hot debate on the new maths, are still valid today and should not be ignored. However, I think the discussion in the last 30 years have only partially taken care, realized these positions of René Thom. Well, let me read. The real problem which confronts mathematics teaching is not that of rigor, but the problem of the developments of meaning, of the existence of mathematical objects. René Thom also said, one has not, I believe, extracted from Hilbert's axiomatics the true lesson to be found there. It is this one exceeds to absolute rigor only by eliminating meaning. Absolute rigor is only possible in and by such destitution of meaning. But if one must choose between rigor and meaning, I shall unhesitatingly choose the latter. It is this choice one has always made in mathematics, where one works almost always in a semi-formalized situation with a meta-language, which is ordinary speech and not formalized. And the whole profession is happy with this bastard situation and does not ask for anything better. Okay, this shows where my personal defined literacy can be anchored. Well, let me give a few implications of these hypotheses. Each generation has to give meanings to various mathematical disciplines and their messages. Examples, combinatorics, discrete mathematics, and so on and so on. And I think the meaning given by this generation to maybe the mathematical object function is slightly a different one than it was given 40 years ago. And therefore, the mathematician Rudolf Wille Darmstadt likes to call these revitalization processes the restructuring issue, the issues of mathematics. Well, of course, this issue first applies to mathematics, but I think the same applies to school mathematics. However, has this task, my question, to be done by mathematicians, by mathematics educators? Has it been done really? Well, if we define, as David and Hirsch said, mathematics is the science of quantity and space, I think we should define numeracy in the neighborhood of these ideas. However, each generation has to give a specific answer what quantity and space means. Then numeracy is the actual answer for mathematics curricula with respect to mathematics as science of quantity. And as we realized yesterday, and there were some comments, maybe there's a lack in numeracy because space, geometry, or whatever else is not explicitly mentioned in the term numeracy. Well, I like to cite Goethe, who said, Goethe makes his Faust say, whatever you inherit from your elders, go earn it, ere you can possess it. And maybe in the last 30 years, this process was not very fruitful. Well, the next question is political dimensions of quantitative literacy. There are at least two aspects of QL which involve political dimensions. First of all, I accept the QL position in the medicine paper without any hesitations. As society has become more complex, various literacies have to become more sophisticated. But how do we mediate this concern to the politicians? The discussion around PISA and TIMSS have clearly shown that politics favors only simple models with less than a handful of factors. It is not the job of politicians and the education administration to familiarize themselves with sophisticated approaches. However, the research shows sophisticated approaches. I agree that the task of reconceiving the structures of higher education for a democratic purpose, especially in fields relying on quantitative and mathematical methods, has hardly begun. Politicians in so far should take not note here of the link to a democratic conception. Well, I was reminded, and yesterday I gave a few remarks, I was reminded of a talk I attended a few months ago given by Hans Mohr, a famous German scientist in genetics, a physicist and a philosopher of science theory in Germany. He posed the question, will democracy also work in the future? To understand this problem, well, he proposed to introduce the term knowledge body, Wissenskörper in Germany. And he distinguished between the so-called our personal individual knowledge body and the collective knowledge body. And then he said, and you can use these terms for different areas. You can think of the individual knowledge body of mathematics and the collective knowledge body on mathematics and so on and so on. And then he said, it's very important that these knowledge bodies contain cognitive knowledge, further disposition knowledge or procedure knowledge, and finally, orientation knowledge. And these three components must be balanced. Their balance characterizes a literate, educated person. This definition of knowledge body and the distinction between subjective and collective knowledge can be applied, as I said before, to various areas and different disciplines, for example, democracy, and last not least, mathematics, but not only. Moore defines learning as an integration process which takes place in one's subjective knowledge bodies. Thus, it is very important that individual knowledge bodies fit optimally to collective knowledge bodies, and only then an intended participation can take place. The main problem of today is the fitting of individual knowledge bodies with a collective knowledge body, and participation in a society depends heavily on optimal fitting. And I think the ideas of QL are showing the direction.
What do you mean by individual knowledge fitting with?
I will explain it afterwards. Yeah. Back to this question. Democracy depends heavily on such interactive processes. History has also taught us that the government form of aristocracy can survive with a particular knowledge body accessible to only a few people. However, democracy can only work if the individual knowledge bodies are fitting with the collective knowledge bodies. Nowadays, the individual bodies of knowledge, think of mathematics, think of QL, develop in a direction away from the collective knowledge body, maybe of the collective knowledge on QL. The debate on genetic engineering is an instance of proof for this trend. More and more people feel that they can contribute to this discussion, even though they can only know less and lesser. Here rests a great danger for democracy, because more and more people believe to decide on a global level, however, more and more people know less and lesser. The same applies to mathematics. I would like to quote Moore again. Science and politics are separate subsystems of the reality of society with their own individual objectives and their own knowledge bodies and rules of conduct. And his ideas to distinguish between science and politics can also be used, and think of science as mathematics, which is which is our subjective knowledge body, and politics, think of administration on schools. And his ideas are science, mathematics is by nature unpolitical and international. Science is capable of truth. Politics is capable of consensus. There are quite different paradigms. A scientific statement does not depend on its political effect, but upon its truth value. Scientific statements do not require political discussion. And you see, we have a lot of discussion on math education. It shows that different forces are important for implementing mathematics at school. Only unpolitical science can produce reliable, accessible results that all politics depends upon the modern world. Again, you can say only unpolitical results on math education can produce reliable, accessible results that our society depends upon in the modern world. A healthy relationship between politics and science is reciprocal, being based on mutual trust. And you see, I think we see that here some balances have been lost, and these loss of balances explain the actual situation. Well, the insights and consequences to our topic. The discussion of the political dimensions of QL is part of a larger discussion in societies. Thus, we should look for allied forces. Can we understand, and this is my question, and I think so, can we understand the difficulties in and around mathematics education as a dividing process of the collective knowledge of mathematics and the individual knowledge bodies on mathematics held by teacher? I think there is a gap, and this gap becomes deeper. And therefore, Moore's general thesis towards science and maybe towards mathematics is the actual knowledge bodies are no longer balanced, and the knowledge bodies are no longer actual. Well, maybe this slide is no longer actual. Well, when I started to understand what QL means, and on the other hand, I am looking to my subject, mathematics, I understand that mathematics is the name for a subject, a school subject, which is not loved. And sometimes the persons outside mathematics, maybe at school, don't believe that mathematics teacher can promote ideas. And therefore, maybe the ideas of QL, but I think it's not quite fitting any after the talk I have attended of Bernie, but may think of the metaphor, maybe the ideas of QL is comparable with new wine, and mathematics is some kind like old bottles. And then I am citing, quoting the Holy Scripture, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, as the bottles break and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Well, but the question is, will QL be successful outside of mathematics? I don't know. I hope. But the next question is, will QL be generally and officially supported by the mathematics society? I doubt, unfortunately. And again, a question we should focus and we should answer, should QL induce reforms in mathematics curricula? I think so. There are consequences to be drawn for the curricula in mathematics with respect to the observation of QL. Well, just a hint. You see, yesterday we could realize many articles out of the press taken from newspapers, and in Germany there's a book called Die etwas andere Aufgabe, collecting all these articles. And this book is used as a textbook for secondary school, lower secondary school, in order to give the students an idea. Please check, is the argument of the journalist, is it adequate? Because normally the arguments of the journalist contain only proportional thinking, and therefore I think the questions can be posed and answered already in the lower secondary grades till grade 10 in Germany. And it's a very interesting book, however it's only in Germany, but I can show it to you. And well, the next question I want to focus for a short while is, what did we learn from UMass, from TIMSS, from PISA for our discussion on numeracy? Well, and I doubt that we have not done our work, or researchers have not done their work to analyze all the global processes which took place in the last 30 years. Maybe there are some articles, I don't know. Nevertheless, I think these articles or the research should show that there are some foot traps, and we should be careful not to construct, as you say, a new bandwagon. Where is the history of the new mass reform in the 60s, making the processes which actually take place reasonable? It seems there are many similarities between the new math epoch and the actual features surrounding the PISA discussion. And in particular, I'm sorry to say, within both movements, at least in Germany, the mathematicians stand more offside than inside. And I think this should be changed, and it explains some of the of the failing again, of course, of PISA in the next 5 years? Well, again, a question, the question of content. We, of course, numeracy is addressing also content question, and it was interesting for me to realize that calculus in the States is a crucial point for as like an indicator for the math teaching at school or at colleges, and more or less the same applies in Germany. We have calculus integrated in our math teaching. However, at the moment, the exercises, the word problems from calculus can be done in a few seconds by a machine. However, the students are not allowed to use the machine in examinations, and we have, I think, 3 or 4 courses on calculus in the upper secondary level, and therefore it seems that calculus is at the end in the old form. Again, in Germany and in Europe, geometry plays a larger role than in the States, I think, I believe, and of course geometry should be part, or in some sense part, of numeracy. And of course, I think I'm optimistic that discrete mathematics should take over part of German mathematics, because at the moment discrete mathematics is only part of probability theory, and I think it's the wrong place to integrate discrete mathematics. Well, number 8, and there will be a paragraph 9, and then I will close in paragraph 10. What does numeracy mean? And I'm just giving a lecture in Germany for students concerning discrete mathematics. And of course, I'm discussing algorithm to code and decode, and I'm just discussing algorithms to within cryptography. And I learned, let me tell you only a few things concerning these algorithms. And my question was, will there be a shortage on numbers, on prime numbers, in future? Why? You see, an often used algorithm, just giving you the idea, the flavor of the idea, is the so-called RSA algorithm, and it works to decode messages. And what do you need? You need very large prime numbers, a prime number P and a prime number Q, and then you have to multiply these numbers, and then you will get a number N. And phi of N means the numbers which are relatively prime to the number N, and this is this is a formula, believe it. And the RSA algorithm is working in the following sense. The RSA algorithm is a so-called public key algorithm. You are announcing your key publicly, and there's no problem. And what does it mean, key? You choose a number E, which is relatively prime to the number phi of N. And your personal, then the public key is the number E and the number N. And your private key can be calculated by doing E times D equals 1 mod this number, and then you have some algorithm and everything works to code messages. Okay, but this is a machine. But the question is, how large have what's about the big numbers P and Q, Tony would ask. How big has P to be? How big has Q to be? Well, and one knows at the moment it's that in practice we choose N as a number consisting of 1024 bits. That means we need for the number N a decimal number of about 300 digits. That means we need a prime number, let me say with 140 digits and a different prime number with 160 numbers, and then have to multiply, and then you will derive a key. Here you see there's a prime number with 150 digits. And the question is, this RSA algorithm is used by many, many persons. Meanwhile, there's development of this algorithm. Therefore, these different uses involves the use of different prime numbers. Therefore, we need many, many prime numbers in the future. And therefore, I ask myself, will there be a shortage of prime numbers in future? Okay, it was my numeracy. Okay, and I try to develop it. But then I was, then I can relax. You see, just for you, for your information, you see, today one knows exactly how many prime numbers exist till the number 10 to 20. And you see, there are some records. And at the moment, one knows at about that there are, you see, you can read it, I cannot read it. You see, you know exactly how many prime numbers are equal or less 10 to 22. Remember, we need prime numbers in the area of 150 digits. Therefore, we have no exact data, and therefore I used the approximation of the function Pn in order to find that to have prime numbers of the length of 22 digits, we will find at about 10 to 20 prime numbers. It shows there is a lot of prime numbers, and I was satisfied that there will be no shortage. However, you see, at the moment when I started to research or to find the results, it was still open for me. It gives me a fine sense of numeracy, well, far beyond our expectations. Well, the last contribution, yesterday there were some hints given to realistic math education, and I fear maybe realistic math education is not very present in the States here, maybe in Canada. Well, it's also not present in Germany. It starts to become an idea, but it was already developed 20 years ago, starting with ideas from Freudenthal. And I quote De Lange, he was quoted yesterday, and I think this is a nice exercise, giving some idea what number sense means, what quantitative literacy means, what numeracy means. Namely, the task is the defense budget of a country in the year. You have to simulate a politician, you see, in a country in the year 1980 was $30 million. The total budget for the same year was $500 million. In the following year, the defense budget was $35 million, and the total budget was $605. The inflation rate of 10% was in its time interval valid for these two budgets. First, I ask, you are invited by a World Peace Organization to hold a lecture. During this lecture, you want to explain that the defense budget has decreased within this time interval. Describe how you would do this. Describe how to lie with numbers. Or the different task, you are invited by a military academy to hold a lecture. During this lecture, you want to explain that the defense budget has increased within this time interval. Describe how you would do this. I think this shows what numeracy can mean partly. Let me close. You see, I think there are some agenda. There are some things which we should discuss and maybe which we should initiate. First of all, we should initiate cooperations between different groups, between different nets, and learn from each other, and giving us different varying tasks. We should learn from realistic math education and other approaches to make mathematics teaching sense-making. On the other hand, Number two, there should be a conscious and honest reflection in our mathematics societies. This applies for my society, and of course AMS, I think, has started. The same applies to MAA. And maybe these societies can take over some partnerships. It would be fine. Maybe in your country it has been done. And of course, there should be a continuation of actions and interdisciplinary inclusion of partners from other faculties. Maybe there should be regular annual activities, meetings, not only with mathematicians, but with persons who are interested in QL. And of course, we need examples, examples, examples. And these examples should be in some sense open for a self-learning process. And in Germany we have started to give students very often units which are self-contained and which are open for self-learning in order to open eyes, as Noss and Hoyles were pointing out in their book on mathematical meanings. Finally, we should know more about numeracy in physics. We should know more about numeracy in economics, numeracy in health science, and so on and so on. And again, my question, does not numeracy have a sister? Spatial abilities, or find a better name, of course. Well, I looked up numeracy.org. Sorry, this address is already booked for adult numeracy, but the page has a modest appearance. And of course, public relations work towards the press campaigning, marketing, a task some mathematicians would view as too undignified for them. Videos, we need videos. And finally, we should think of establishing kinds of a network. You see, in Germany, there is a network created by industry, and it's very successful. And the reason for this network is we have the term MINT. MINT means mathematics, informatics, computer science, and natural sciences and technology, MINT. And there were studies which show that the proportion of MINT professionals in different societies is differing. And I think the proportion of MINT professionals in the Japanese society is much higher than in the German society. And therefore, industry and business are calling for more professionals, for more students who have competencies in mathematics, computer science, in science, and of course in technology. And if there is a school who is addressing this need, this school becomes a member of a community, and she will be qualified if she is qualified. Yes, there is a test, and this school has the chance to be for 4 years within the net. After the 4 years, the school is again tested, and industry is giving money to the schools in this net. Meanwhile, there are 100 schools across Germany, and maybe it would be possible to think of schools which are open for the ideas of QL, which should be integrated in such a network. And of course, they have to prove that these are not only ideas and promises, but there are facts, and there are also daily practice of QL ideas. Maybe, therefore, we need nets in order to spread and in order to stabilize our ideas. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you very much. That's good.
Yeah.
For a very informative talk. It's a very good idea, this idea of a net. We can work like the early Christians, like having little cells of the early communists. We subvert society.
Okay.